Great. If you have your Bible with you, it'd be great just to kind of turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, and we're going to focus in on one verse, verse 12. So John chapter 14 and verse 12. For those of you who are visiting with us today, we've been going through a series of sermons which are really about the identity of the church. Back at the very beginning of the church, we had a very clear promise from God, which was his word, which is in John 3:16. And so that's why it's up here. But below that, we had the sense that God is speaking about the name of the church. And what he said was that we are to be a child of promise, a child of miracles, a child of healing, and a child of revival. And over the last few months, we've been speaking about each of these. And today we come again to speak about miracles. What is a miracle? Well, a miracle is something which is impossible for us to do, but something which is absolutely possible for God to do. It is when he breaks in to the normal pattern of life and he helps us by doing what only he can do. It's when we would sort of say it's when heaven invades earth. It's when God does stuff and we experience a blessing as a result of it. That's what a miracle is, okay? So today we're thinking about, we want to think about the child of miracle. And I want to start by just saying that actually as a church we have experienced significant miracles over the years. We've heard this story before, but I tell it with great joy. That I remember the time where the healing rooms team and Glenn and the guys that were there prayed for a lady that had come in a wheelchair. She was agoraphobic. She wasn't normally at the house. Came along, went into the healing rooms, sat in a wheelchair, really discouragingly, didn't do anything as a result of prayer. You know, they prayed, and she just sat there, and they went, nothing's happening. And then I think she came back a few times, though, and then she disappeared. Nothing happened. Nothing happened while they were praying for them, and then she disappeared. And so I think the team, to be honest, where you were kind of going, that was a disaster. Nothing happened. And then I think about a month or so later, certainly a bit later, she came back walking in, and she told the story of how just a few weeks after she'd been prayed for, she sensed that it was time for her to get up and get out of the house. So she got up and she started walking. Now, this is a lady who had not been able to actually walk over the threshold of her door, but instead she got in her coat and she decided that she was going to start walking. She walked out of Medwin Street, which is just along here, and walked out of her house, walked down Medwin Street. She'd not done that for a long time. That was 100 yards that she got. She thought, I'm at 100 yards, I'll keep going. She kept going, turned onto Dumbarton Road. She thought, maybe I'll go around the block, but she got to the corner of the Bart Road, felt that she was okay, so she decided that she would just go and visit her husband, who works in Partick. So she started walking down the Barton Road, and at this point, I think if anyone had been with her who had actually kind of known what had happened in the previous months, where she'd been stuck in the house and not able to move, they would have been going, okay, I think that's far enough. When she got to the Humpback Bridge, just at the bottom of Dumbarton Road, she kind of thought, I'm okay, I'll keep going. She kept going all the way down. She got to Partick. She went into her husband's work. Her husband almost freaked out, not surprisingly, because of the fact that this woman had not got out of the house. So he was kind of like, how on earth did you get here? She then tells the story of how she got up and walked, and she sensed that that's what she was supposed to do, and she got all the way down to Partick. He then very wisely got in the car and drove her back. Now, she kept going, and the story that she told was about how actually, she had been healed, how miraculously she had been healed. It's an incredible story. Another story was a guy called Jamie, who is part of the recovery community here. A year ago, I can't remember when it was. I can't remember if anyone will remember the date. But anyway, he basically had double pneumonia. And we went and prayed for him, didn't you? Can you remember what it was? It was like last year, wasn't it? It must have been something like last year, because he was going to get married, and he couldn't get married because he got double pneumonia, and he was basically in the new hospital, in the ICU unit of the new hospital, and basically his partner phoned us and said, could you come and pray for Jamie? They're putting him into a coma because they're really not sure whether or not his lungs are going to recover. And so we went across, the team of us went across and went in. They wouldn't let us in all at the same time, there's four of us, so we went in two by two, which is very biblical, by the way. And we went in and we prayed for him, we laid our hands on him, and we asked God to release life into Jamie's body and to bring his pneumonia out of his body and to actually kind of release the problems in his lungs. The girl who was the nurse So the nurse at ICU was sort of standing there, I think, kind of going, what the heck is going on here? And she kind of sort of, she pulled me aside and she said, you do know that he's got double pneumonia and we've just taken him into an induced coma. You know, you do understand that. He's not going to be out for, like, probably weeks and weeks and weeks. You understand that, don't you? Now? And we're going, we'll see. 4 days later, he was in the center again. He'd come round, he was up and he was about, and you know, you can call it what you like, but we keep praying and coincidences keep happening. Work it out. God is doing amazing things. Another thing happened, I'm going to tell one of Kyle's stories. We have a friend over in Rakese, and she's called Tina. And Tina is really funny because she's kind of got this experience of God. She brought up Catholic, and so a lot of the kind of experiences she has, I have to say, have been pretty negative. But she's not been well, and she had psoriasis. And so about 2 or 3 years ago, one of the guys in the church, she'd had psoriasis for years and years on her legs, and it was really annoying her, and it was painful and discomfort and all the rest of it. And so somebody said, would you like us to pray for you? She prayed for it, and it went. It went within a day. And this is something that she'd had for years, years and years and years. Anyway, that happened. So that's her background. And then this week, last weekend, she had a sore back, and she was complaining. And if you know Tina, some of us know Tina, she can complain. Wow, she is on it as far as that's concerned. If she's something not right, you'll know that it's not right. Anyway, so Tina was telling us about the sore back and how she wasn't able to move anything and basically bossing us all about because she couldn't move. And so we had to kind of move things for her anyway. And so Kyle was praying and said, you know, I'll pray for your back. And I think, did it happen immediately? She was just... Yes, she was really surprised. Yeah, she did point at you and go, what did you do? I think there was some other words that she used as well that we're not going to use at the moment. But yeah, so... Good old Tina, and this is the thing. The thing that she was saying was, you know, that see, if God does that kind of thing, maybe I should actually kind of like believe. And we were all kind of going, yes, that's the whole point, and that is the whole point of miracles. Miracles are signs and wonders. Signs that point to Jesus and things that make us wonder about what God is doing. They're signs and wonders, miracles that can actually break through and change our lives so that we kind of go, so that perhaps some of you, you know, you just go through your life and you get on with it. And to be honest with you, the church stuff and the Christianity thing is just, it's irrelevant. And that's for a lot of people, actually. But then suddenly, God breaks in. And that's what miracles do. God breaks into our circumstances. And like Tina, she was kind of going, maybe there's something going on here. Maybe there's something going on. So let's read this verse that we're going to focus on just briefly, and I'm going to just talk about it. John 14, verse 12 says this, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he was about to be crucified and then die and rise again. And he said to them, very truly, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Now, the works that Jesus had been doing was feeding 5,000 people with 5 little loaves and 2 fish. And, you know, he had been raising Lazarus from the dead, and he had been kind of walking on the water. So when Jesus said, you will do even greater things than these, what he was meaning was, you will do even greater things than walking on the water and producing food for 5,000 and raising people from the dead. And that's what he's saying. That's what this verse says. It's very clear. It's not complicated. It's not confusing. It is simple. Jesus says to those who believe in him, those who follow after him, that he wants to release to us, those of us who believe him and follow him, the ability to be able to do these things. And even greater things than these. What does that mean? Well, that means in terms of scope and scale, because Jesus was limited to one person, one body, one place, one time, and so he was only able to influence people that he was beside. But now there are billions of Christians around the world, literally billions of us now around the world, and Jesus is saying, I want to bring breakthrough into people's lives through you being obedient to do what I tell you to do, whether that's laying your hands on the sick or whether that's encouraging someone or speaking something or going and doing whatever it is I tell you to do. And so for us, as we think about this child of the miracles thing, what we're actually sort of saying is that we are a people who are called to bring breakthrough, a kingdom breakthrough into other people's lives by being willing to do whatever it is that Jesus says at the time that he's willing to speak about it. Now, how did Jesus do this? How did Jesus actually achieve these miracles, walking on water, all these other things? Because there's some confusion about this, okay? Because people think he cheated. And he cheated because actually he was God. And so they look at the scriptures and you read the scriptures and you kind of go, hang on, the only way he was able to do this was because he was God. I can't do that, but he can do that because he was God, right? That's what people think, isn't it? That's what you kind of think, well, yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Except that what the scriptures actually teach us in Philippians 2 is this, that he gave up all of his power, all of his knowledge, and his ability to be in any place at any time. So what it says is that when we know that Jesus was God, because he was God, he kept his character and his nature, but he did not have any of the power of God. He didn't have any of it. Let me just repeat that in case you're confused. Jesus was God, nature, character, but was not carrying the power, knowledge, and ability to be anywhere that was part of his divinity. Philippians 2, look it up, it says this. He emptied himself, it says. He emptied himself of all of these things so that he could come amongst us and be like us. So how did Jesus do the miraculous things? This is what it says in Luke chapter 3. It says this. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. A voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love, and you I am well pleased." And then in the first verse of chapter 4, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. How did Jesus perform the miracles when he didn't have power, knowledge, or ability to be able to do these things, when he didn't actually operate out of his divinity in these things? He did it because he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. He's a man full of the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. That's what the Bible tells us. So how did he do the miraculous things? He did them because actually he had the Holy Spirit within them. And because, and this is what it says in John chapter 5, verse 19, it says this, Jesus gave them this answer, "Very, very truly I tell you, the Son of Man," that's him, "the Son can do nothing by himself." So in other words, he was saying, I can't do miracles. I can't do any of these things. He said, he cannot do anything by himself, but he can, speaking of himself, he can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So what Jesus was saying was this, I can't do any of these things. I can't. I'm just a man. I'm a man full of the Holy Spirit, but I'm just a man. The only way that he could do the things that we read of in the New Testament was this, that he was listening to the Father. The Father was speaking to him and saying, do that. And he did it. Say this. And he said it. How do we do miracles? We do them by being full of the Holy Spirit and listening to God and obeying what he says. Simple as. Okay, that's us. We're done. So, but that's what the Bible teaches. It is as simple as that. It's not complicated. And it isn't something which actually... And there's so many reasons why I think that we don't do these things. We struggle with these. And I'll be honest, I struggle with these things. So sometimes I've got wrong thinking in my head. Because actually sometimes I'm an educated man. I'm an educated man. I have 2 degrees, one of which is a Master of Theology degree. Thank you very much. And so that didn't help at all, I can assure you. But I was educated. And so sometimes what happens is that kind of the worldview, which is, if I can't see it and I don't understand it and I can't, and if you can't demonstrate it to me and prove it to me, then it can't be true. that scientific, rationalistic worldview, which actually is very, very common, it's taught in our schools to our kids, that actually kicks in, and I kind of go, well, obviously I can't do anything to this guy that's got psychotic episodes, and what am I going to do about that? And, well, actually, you know what God says is, do what you're told. Lay your hand on him and pray for him. That's what he says. And I can easily get confused and diverted. And sometimes we can be like that as well. I think the other thing that happens is that we sometimes feel unworthy. I feel unworthy. You know, I feel unworthy to be, you know, that God, why would God use someone like me? You know, and I remember some of you don't know this, but I was part of an organization that ran a big conference once, and I remember on the last day, I felt like God was saying, you need to just go and pray for people and impart what it is that you've got, which is I have the ability to be able to pioneer new things. So that's basically what I kind of thought I was supposed to do. And I said to all the rest of these amazing speakers and teachers and all the other people who had been around at Clan Gathering for many years, come and share what it is that God's given to you, and then pray for people. And to be honest with you, every time that happens, I naturally kind of go, oh, they've got a better gift than me, and they've got, you know, they're more spiritual than I am, and God really answers their prayers when they pray, and, you know, and actually, you know, all that stuff about, you know, I'm not worthy to do this, you know, I'm not good enough to do this, I can't actually do it, you know, it just made me come little, ugh. But you know, I was obedient that night, and I just poured myself out, I willingly prayed for them, and I know that God has imparted huge, you know, sort of, well, just all sorts of things to the people that I prayed for. I know that it happened because I've been told by the folks afterwards, you know, that it was so significant, and I've heard them as they've spoken to me. Sometimes we need to get over our sense of, you know, it can't be me, you know, because we look around and we can, do you know what we would do? We kind of go, it'll be the spiritual ones, the, you know, the people up front that'll do this. Won't be me. God won't ask me. You know, it'll be the kind of like the ones that pray for 15 hours a day and all this kind of stuff. Can it be me? And God says, it is in your weakness that my strength is made perfect. It is in your weakness that my strength is made perfect. Do you understand? You know, so let's not get caught up in any of that stuff about not being worthy and not being able to do it. So it can be about kind of getting our heads sort of caught up in the, you know, oh, it's not possible, or I'm not worthy. But probably the moving to this one. The other reason why I think we struggle in terms of the kind of stuff of moving into the miraculous is probably apathy. I think maybe that might be one way. Here's how I would describe what I do. I'm really keen for a while. It's a bit like doing a diet for me. Like, I'm really keen for a while, and I kind of, oh, yes, God, I'm going to pray for people. Yes, 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 yes. And then, oh, there's other things over here. Oh, there's a football. Oh, what's happening over here? Oh, you know. And I get diverted, and I veer off course, and I forget that actually God's calling me to be someone who actually imparts, you know, his kingdom, who brings breakthrough. And sometimes it's not just apathy. Sometimes it's actually and passivity. Sometimes it's because I'll be honest with you, it's because I don't really care enough. I don't actually have the compassion that I need to be able to look at someone and sort of say, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to pray for them. And I don't have a tattoo. But if I did have a tattoo, I think I don't think this is a good idea because I've realized it's very long and there'll be lots of letters in it, but I think I would have, break my heart, Lord, with the things that break yours. I'd have that tattoo done. I don't really want a tattoo. But if I did, because, do you know, that's the thing that I need to get. I need something of the compassion of God. I need something of his heart. And I think sometimes we don't push ourselves out there and we veer away from these things because actually we forget the goodness of God for us, and we forget how good he's been to us, and therefore we actually kind of, we're not necessarily willing to step out. When I was in Mozambique, I remember going in an outreach with Heidi Baker, and she's quite a lassie. If you've never been, you'll... Anyway, she basically went to this kind of village in the middle of the bush, and went to the head man, the kind of the tribal chief, and said, go and get all of your blind people, go and get all of your deaf people, and go and get all of your lame people, and bring them back here, and we're going to pray for them. And if none of them are healed by the end of it, we will leave. But when they are healed, I want you to hear about Jesus Christ. And they went, and so the tribal guys, go and get everybody. And so they all went, and they got, and literally they're walking along like this, holding hands, leading the blind along to them, and the deaf, carrying people, bringing them in kind of like, you know, wheelbarrows and stuff like that, and bringing them to the meeting. And then they started praying, and they started laying their hands on them. And people could see, you know, there were some of the people who had cataracts, the whites, the gray of their eyes turned from gray to brown, beautiful brown eyes that they have. And they could see. And I'm telling you, see, when that happened, it wasn't difficult for people to hear the good news and to recognize that God was there. It really wasn't. You know, we don't do this because we want to have a flashy meeting. We do this because we want people to be blessed, and we want the kingdom of God to break out here and to break out wherever we go. That's why we're children of miracles. That's why we're called to do these things. So I want to pray for us. I'm going to just read to you a scripture that I think is really significant. So again, you might want to follow along if you've got your Bibles with me. From Luke chapter 10, and this is us finishing, so if you've had enough, that's okay, don't worry, I'm finishing. Luke chapter 10, and I just want to read to you the words of Jesus, okay? So this is Jesus speaking to us, speaking to those who know him, love him, okay? And I want to invite you to hear this really as a commissioning, or perhaps as a recommissioning. This is what Jesus is saying to you. This is him commissioning you, calling you to stop sitting at the back, waiting for others to do this. Stop letting in, you know, intellectual arguments or kind of worthiness arguments or just lack of, you know, compassion arguments, you know, sort of stop you stepping out boldly. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And then he says, having said that, he says to the people that are there, his disciples, you and me, go. I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone promotes the peace, they will receive your peace there. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking, whatever it is that they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed in it, eat what is offered to you. Heal those that are there who are ill and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for your words which call us out of the back row and into the front, that call us out of passivity into activity, that call us out of apathy and into compassion, that call us out of doubt and into being transformed by the renewal of our mind, that call us out of lack of worthiness into that place where we know who we are as sons and daughters of the King of Kings, and that we are called to be those who release heaven onto earth, who bring kingdom breakthrough for people. It is not complicated. It's just about us being full of the Holy Spirit, listening to you, and doing what you tell us. And so, Lord God, we pray for that just now. We ask that you would move in power. We ask, Lord God, that you would do these things. And Lord, we pray that you would release faith now to step into these things boldly. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The band are about to play in a minute. And while they do that, What we're going to do is we're going to ask, I've asked just a few folks to come up, and we're going to pray for people. So what it says is Jesus was a man who was full of the Holy Spirit and who was willing to listen to God and then do what he told. And so if you want to come to receive the Holy Spirit, to be prayed for, that you would become someone who was able to be used by God in this way, then I'd like you to come forward. And they're not going to say anything to you other than just to lay their hands on you and release the ability to be able to see breakthrough in kingdom activity and miracles. You just come, and once they've prayed for you, then you can kind of go and sit down again. But they're going to worship in the background, and then we're going to do this as part of the sort of finishing of the service together. And if you want to do that, then you're welcome to do that. If it's not the right thing, or you're not sure what this is all about, if you're just here as a visitor and you're going, "What the heck is going on in this church?" That's fine. You just go and have a coffee. You're welcome. But the rest of us are going to come, and we're going to get prayed for. So let's stand, and we're going to worship. And then if the folks want to come out who are going to come and pray, then that would be great. And then if you want to come, then just come.